things we've been taking.
Well, greetings everybody. Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live tonight right here on the transmitting Jewel of the Sound, WRB 3.185, and we're glad to have you in here with us. We're live tonight on a Monday evening. Everything is fine. The weather's fine down here in Tennessee. Almost 60 degrees today. Can you believe it? Well, let's enjoy the times. We're going to teach on part two of the seal of the Sabbath. We're going to be right back after our good brother from the Great Republic of Texas, Brother Ben, brings us in here tonight with America. What's wrong?
It says we the people on our Bill of Rights. I wonder when the sheeple will ever see the light. You tell us we've got freedom, and you say that we've got peace. But that's what you want to feed us through your image of the peace. Don't you know that it's time to wake up? Hey, America, aren't you fed up? With no waiting to go, aren't you ready to show it the way you feel?
America, it's time for you to rise and shine. It's time for you to let your sons take back the kingdom, the covenant land of Jacob, Israel, Joseph. Praise Yahweh. 12 reasons tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as we get into this second part of the covenant seal of the Sabbath. 12 reasons why that you should attend yourself to looking after the delight of the Sabbath. We're going to talk about it tonight and hope and trust that you will receive a blessing. You know, the Bible's talking about obedience. It's a lot better than sacrifice. You can do a lot of good things. You can go over and feed the Haitians. You can deliver them and do all these things and the tragic things that happen in life. The poor you're going to have with you always. Don't get upset about that. When you see these things, just remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen. There is a lot of people, nations that surround us, are not of Yahweh. You just remember that. The Sabbath, number one reason, is a day to cease our creating. Did you know that we are like our Creator, created in His image to create? And the Bible says He ceased His creating on the seventh day. Now, you got to know when that seventh day was. He still remembers it. He asked you to do the same thing. And so if you'll remember the day that He set aside, the very day that He set aside, not some man's calendar. We've done attacked the Gregorian calendar of the Saturday and the Sunday worshipers. Ladies and gentlemen, you better buckle up and hang on, because we are taking no prisoners tonight when we examine the day, the heavens, the signal, the timepiece that man cannot monkey with. He can't take the back off of the time clock and change it. You know, that's ironic, because I was just talking to a friend of mine a while ago. We was talking about the times and the seasons. The wise know. The wise are warned. The wise take heed, so the Sabbath day is a day to cease our creating, working with the creation, and appreciate what Yahweh has done in this world and is still doing for us today to those that will keep His commandments. Now, number two, try to make the Sabbath as an enjoyable season. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees like to lay heavy burdens upon you, as it's written in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, and they bind you with heavy burdens. For instance, there's people say, oh, you can't even light a fire on the Sabbath, Pastor Buddy. And I said, well, what's wrong with lighting the fire? Well, bless God, ain't you read the Bible? I said, yes, I've read it a little bit. Well, my God. Yeah, well, right there, it said right there in the Bible, glory to God, said, well, that he killed that man for lighting the fire. And I said, oh, my. Man, that's... You mean you can't even use no fire? No. No, you're supposed to cook. You see, they mention cooking. You can't cook on the Sabbath because they relate that with lighting a fire and, you know, bringing the Sabbath into the equation. And they say, well, you can't light a fire and cook. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Sabbath is for. The Sabbath of rest is eat and relax and enjoy yourself. We're going to prove that in the Bible, that Yahweh went as far as providing them foods to prove to you that you can eat on the Sabbath. And I am sure, ladies and gentlemen, that it wasn't against His laws for them to cook on the Sabbath, because He never said nowhere that you couldn't light a fire to cook on. So then we're going to take that into account. And then some people say, oh, now, Pastor Buddy, Lord of God, you can't cut wood on Sabbath. And I say, well, oh, you can't? No, sirree, bless God. I read in there where the Bible says that God killed that man for cutting wood on the Sabbath. Wow. I said, for what purpose was it? You mean you can't even gather sticks and build yourself a fire to keep yourself warm? Don't you think that they had, you know, they didn't have central heat and air? Most of these people that teach this stuff, you know, they don't run up and unhook their central heat and air. And if they did, the meter would still be running. And they still have to pay for the electricity, and electricity is fire. And fueling the motors and the things is the fuel. And so you are still doing it today. You may not think you are, because you're just saying now gathering up a stick. There's more things to fuel fires today than sticks. We got other methods that they didn't have to them. And he wasn't killed for gathering the sticks to keep his family warm. He was a professional woodcutter or gatherer, and wood was a precious commodity. And he was out there trying to gather for a living, making money. That's why that they killed him. The ones that were lighting a fire were those commercial bakeries. Even back in those days, this man thought he'd get a leg up on everybody. And when the Sabbath come along, everybody ceased from their work, earning money, serve our wages. He was out there lighting his fire up and probably thought it nobody'd see his smoke. He probably lived back in the holler somewhere, wherever he's at. But they caught him making bread, baking it with his ovens, lighting that fire to do that. And when Yahweh commanded him to be killed, it wasn't because he was lighting the fire to stay warm and keep his family warm. He was working. He was breaking the Sabbath. And these things are very serious. And for those today that would, instead of making it a burden, you know, I'm going to show you some things tonight that if you keep the Sabbath, that it could be a burden to you. seems like that's the time that the devil will bless you, give you an opportunity to make some good money. And so the temptation is great for the devil to come in and tempt you to break the law. Now, not many people would break, let's say, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, you wouldn't go out on Saturday and take a woman or a man and go to bed with them, because you would be committing adultery. But if you could make another couple hundred bucks, you know, you that don't seem as bad, because you look at that as a blessing. But your conscience would condemn you for committing adultery, where your conscience would justify you for making a couple hundred dollars that you badly need. Well, you probably needed the woman just as bad, or the man, depending on what sex you are. If you committed adultery and you went out and done the same thing, of course, we understand the reasoning of adultery, the terrible crime of adultery was adulterating of the blood, mixing with other races, crossing the bloodline. You see that down in Hades. You see people down there of different kinds adopting and marrying, and the churches are approving of it for them to go down. I was talking with a brother from Michigan today, and he was telling me about a brother that lives in their community from the Presbyterian Church, that he was going down to do missionary work, and he got there 1 hour before the earthquake, and he was killed. 1 hour. Now, the Bible said that they will compass land and sea. Well, that's exactly what this fellow done. And he lost his life in pursuit of the 513 agenda, which is to miscegenate all of the races that the devil is trying to tell you and convince you that we're all one blood. And that's not true. The Sabbath. So what are you doing preparing for the Sabbath? Well, if you can, it would be nice for you to prepare your food the day before the Sabbath. And I ain't talking about Saturday or Sunday necessarily. But if you could prepare your food to give you more time to enjoy yourself. I mean, here's your wife. She toils. You know, she toils day and night to keep the home and to feed the family, and she has to cook 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 meals a day, depending on the appetite. And America is vastly hungry. You can look at our bellies and tell that. We go to the store 2 or 3 times a day, and we can't, I mean, we panic if there's no food. And so if you make preparations, because the Sabbath is going to come on, you can get that work done by cooking. It is a chore, but it's not against the law to cook on the Sabbath. I want to emphasize that. It is not against the law. I mean, the quail that came in, Yahweh sent them a double portion on the sixth day. But do you think they ate raw bird when the Sabbath come on? I don't think so. Well, you think they cooked them all up? I don't think so, because they didn't have any way to preserve them. And so there was nothing against preparing your food or cooking it. If you can cook food, in our day we can keep it from spoiling, retarding, bacterial increase, meat and things of this nature. In that day, they couldn't keep anything over 3 days without it being a potential hazard for them to eat. And that's why the Bible said, if they sacrifice in their gates, meaning if they kill an animal, and that's what sacrificing is all about. And you sacrifice every day. So we don't sacrifice. Everybody thinks that sacrificing was going out here and slaying a bull or a goat or a sheep. you could prepare it at your life rest. I'll give you an example. You're going to have to pick up, now, what about burdens? You can't carry nothing. And man, they got this to be, they got the Sabbath, instead of being a delight, instead of making the Sabbath for you, they turned it in that you made the Sabbath for Yahweh, and Yahweh said you couldn't do nothing on the Sabbath. Most of them can't even walk a half a mile. Most of them can't even breathe unless they take a Sabbath. So they're very conscious with these man-made laws and can't get free in the spiritual aspect of it. They've wrongly interpreted the Bible. Now, number three, the Sabbath is a time to lay your burdens down and rest. That's true. But what about Yahweh on the Sabbath when he healed the man that had to lay in his bed? Today we call it a gurney. Everywhere he went, somebody had to carry him. He couldn't walk. And he wanted to be in there on this meeting. And he wanted to get near the Messiah. He heard that there was a great healing meeting going around every time this man come through. Somebody get healed. Well, he wanted to be him. And sure enough, on the Sabbath day, Yahweh healed him and told him to take up his bed. Just as soon as he grabbed his bed and walked out, here come the Pharisees. You're supposed to carry a burden on the Sabbath. Glory to God. You see, in the spirit and context of the joy of healing on the Sabbath and making, instead of them getting happy and clapping their hands and going over and shaking the man's hand, here they get in the face of the man that healed and condemn him for telling the man, not for healing, but for telling him to take up his bed. It's a time to rest with delight, not rest with burdens. It's a time to lay your burdens down, not only psychological, physical, and of course they were looking at the physical, but you know, we can carry psychological burdens of guilt, and they won't let us lay those down. We're afraid. We'll be condemned. You know, I get out on Sunday, you know, and you know, when most of the church was going to Sabbath worship, and I'm out baling hay or doing something like that, and or cutting the yard or doing something like that, and they just look at you like, man, you're the worst man in town. And of course, they'd stop and talk to me. I could talk to them about the Sabbath and the day that was set aside to worship on the Sabbath. And it's certainly not necessarily. It could be in the rotation of the lunar application. And I'll show you the times that Yahweh set aside and marked these days as a signal for you to rest. Now, what you want to do is find out the very day he rested on, and you rest with him. Take heed, lest any of you with an unbelieving heart fail to enter in to my rest. Now, what does that mean? It means to be right. You know, a lot of people, they sacrifice. Oh, I ain't worked on Sunday and gone in 40 years. Glory to God. I won't bale no hay and I won't do nothing. On the Sabbath, on Sunday, glory to God. And then we got the Saturday people. Oh, they're so holy and, oh, yeah. Oh, no, I ain't going to work. I'll take a fine slip. Just fire me. I ain't going to work on Saturday. Glory to God. And they think by their devotion to their stand approves their sacrifice. But if that's the case, it doesn't matter when you sacrifice. Yahweh should have accepted Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice, because both of them sacrificed. I just believe one sacrificed on the right day, and the other said it don't really matter as long as I sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for you to find out when you should cease work, when should do no servile work. That includes the entire family, your servants, your beast of burden, but you can carry in some grain. You understand that now? You ain't going to let your mules and your horses and your donkeys or whatever that you've got, you're not going to let them rest. If they eat, they're permitted to eat, and you have to carry the grain to them because they can't go over and get them a sack of feed and bring it over in the feeding lot and pour it out in their trough and eat it and then take the rest of it back. These are animals that need to be fed. And Christ alluded to it. He said, "You hypocrites, which one of you don't loose your ass on the Sabbath day and take him to the watering hole and then feed him and carry your burdens?" See, that's the application. Use intelligence, but above all, use the proper time. Fourth reason, the Sabbath is a holy convocation. And we're to meet and worship on that day. And it can be with others, don't necessarily have to be, but it's a day of worship. That don't mean you sit around in sackcloth and fast. The Sabbath is a day of feasting. We know that. We know that from the book of Exodus 16. Well, Yahweh brought enough quail in, and they gathered enough on the sixth day to do them through the seventh day. And we're gonna give you the correct formula and the renewal application of the times of the Sabbath and show you that it's not a fixed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like the Saturday keepers try to say. Or the Sunday people would try to say, "Well, we worship on the first day of the week because Christ changed the Sabbath." Well, we're gonna attack. Well, I mean, we are in the attack mode tonight, and we're gonna take it to you, Saturday keepers. And if you're trying to keep the Sabbath on the Saturday, and that's all you know, well and good. You've done well. But what is the profit of your sacrifice when he desires obedience? Obedience to the holy day. Now we know that the Sabbath in the month of Abib, it was always on the 15th. Now if it was the far journey Sabbaths or the Passover on the far journey clause of Numbers chapter 9, it was always, again, on the 15th. That was when you rest. Well, you don't necessarily mean now that on Saturday, glory to God, the 15th falls every Saturday. And then these Saturday keepers, to justify how they get around it, they say, well, yeah, on that day, you keep a double Sabbath. If the Sabbath falls on Wednesday and the 15th on Tuesday, then you got to keep a double Sabbath. That's hogwash. Ain't what the Bible said. Did you know that if the Sabbath fell on the 17th, as some people say with their calendar application of the Saturday Sabbath, and if you did a rotation cycle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then if it was on the 17th, then it would have been on the 10th. Well, the 10th was a work day. I'm sorry. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many complications to the application of time. You better be on time. You better rest when he rests. Don't get caught up in these burdens of the Pharisees who lay heavy burdens upon you. The fifth reason, be reverent. Now, the Sabbath, the fourth is the Holy Sabbath convocation. 23 that I've showed you. There is a time clause in there. You better study it well. You better prove all things. Number five reason is relevant to this, that we love Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. We honor Him. We respect His authority, which is Psalms 89 and 7. There's a scripture that comes to mind that He's got the authority to tell you when to rest. Now, if you're resting when He's working, or you're working when He's resting, you could get arrested in the end and thrown out. He said, my ways are not your ways. And if your ways don't match His ways, and the day that He chose to rest, nobody, including the Jews, who these Seventh-day Adventists say that we don't choose no what day that God rested thousands of years ago, and time has went, and He's kept it perfect, glory to God. That's the biggest lie that the devil ever made you swallow and believe. You've got to have more faith to believe that than you do that the month renews itself, as we prove. In the first and the seventh month, they have to keep the 15th as a Sabbath. That's mandatory, and it's determined by the new moon. Case in point, Amos chapter 8, verse 5. The Israelites, who were wanting to be like the heathen,
they wanted to keep Sabbath and Sunday, I guess,
because they certainly did not want to keep the new moon.
When will it be gone? That old moon, we have to wait on it. Tell us when it's going to be gone that we can buy and sell. When's the Sabbath day? When's it going to be gone?
They knew exactly, because they had a renewal process of the months. And by this monthly renewal of the nature calendar in the heavens, sixth reason, the Sabbath should be and must be a delight and a rejoicing, a day which we forsake our thoughts. Don't worry about tomorrow. And we worship Him in a delightful way. Isaiah chapter 56 and chapter 58. The Sabbath is a time of healing, renewing. Let the old body rest. Let the old mule rest. Let your body get in sync with Yahweh Himself. You know He's resting. And He's resting on the day that He established as the day of His Sabbath. We can prove the days that He rested and the days that He worked. And ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday and Sunday, the Gregorian calendar is the biggest deceitful. It's worse than the earthquake in Hades. You think that's bad? What about all the people that are breaking, digging, building on the day that Yahweh's resting? He's watching. The Bible said His eyes run through the earth, and He's watching what man is doing. And you're responsible for your actions if you will take a delight in keeping the Sabbath. The eighth reason is not to buy or sell. As I've done quoted in Nehemiah chapter 13, they saw Him carrying burdens in through the gates on the Sabbath day. Now, according to the book of Ezekiel chapter 46, the gates were only to be opened on the Sabbath day. Now, how are they going to get in through the gates when they're closed? So they had to carry them through the gates of the Sabbath. And let me tell you, what determines the gate opening process. You have a new moon, according to Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. This is the formula. This is what got me. This is what convinced me that the Sabbath was designed specifically on a certain day, and that the signs in the heavens, the beacons, the signal, the light, the firmament of Genesis 1:14 is the application light sign that Yahweh himself observes, as David and Jonathan observed it in 1 Samuel chapter 20. Tomorrow is the new moon. They knew when it was coming, and the people today could care less when it comes, because they changed his times and his laws, and by doing so they turned themselves into hell with all nations that forget instead of remembering Yahweh's Sabbath day. The ninth reason, the Sabbath is a time to do good. Visit and comfort the sick. Well, how can you visit without walking? Oh, it's about a Sabbath-based journey. Did you know that the Talmud says that that's less than 300 feet? Or you're breaking a Sabbath, or the weight of something, a burden, that it was a hyper-dried date. If you carried more than that, you're breaking the Sabbath. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the law of the burden of the Pharisees. Beware of the leavening of the Pharisees. It's a good time to visit the sick, do spiritual work on the Sabbath. In John chapter 5, you'll relate that that's what he was doing. And Luke 4:16, you'll see what kind of a custom he had by reading that scripture. The Sabbath is a time to pray, like we're doing in Acts 16, verse 13. The Sabbath is a time, number 11, the Sabbath is a time to reason with others about spiritual principles. And it teaches us his word, because revelation comes on the day of rest. When a mind is try to talk to people when they're making money. You ain't going to get money off of their mind, especially Israel. And so the best time to catch a fellow when he's completely convinced that he's keeping the correct Sabbath, and he's carrying his Bible, and you can open it up and reason with him. And that's according to what Paul did in Acts chapter 17, verse 2. He done it for 3 Sabbath days. He didn't do it for 3 weeks. He was there on a new moon waiting for the moon to change at the end of the Sabbath. And then he had a 2-day new moon, and it turned into be a 3-day event in Acts 17 and 2. And 6 and 1, Luke, they had a 2-day event there. They went through the grain field for 2 consecutive days, waiting for the new moon to change. That's what they were waiting on. And they went through the wheat field and for the barley, and they clipped off the heads of the barley and rolled it in their hands and blowed it and ate the grain. And the old Pharisee said, "You're not supposed to eat nothing on the Sabbath. We're supposed to gather food on the Sabbath. That's breaking it. Glory to God." I'm going back to the book of Exodus chapter 16. The last one now. The Sabbath is a time for singing, as it's recorded in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Also in Acts 19. Colossians 3:16. Psalms 92. That's the one I call the Sabbath Psalm. You don't read that. It's a great glorification of resting and praising and singing. I love to sing and play the guitar, and can't play it too good, but I love to bang on it and get around people that love to sing and stomp their feet a little bit and praise Yahweh. It's a great time. Praise Yahweh. Now, here we're going to go into the segment of the purpose the one that established the purpose, not man. Not man, as it's recorded in Mark chapter 2, verse 23, that I just quoted you here, where he was passing through the grain fields and his disciples plucked the corn in their hands and blowed off the chaff and ate the grain. And the Pharisees who were following along trying to catch him in his doings, he was the perfect lamb, ladies and gentlemen. He had found no faults. Notice this. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. It is the reason, the cause of the Sabbath. And you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure. If you will do my pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh, keep it honorable, honor it, detesting from your, or ceasing from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then, verse 14, then you will take delight in Yahweh. And I will make you, oh man, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. Remember what Jacob said? I'll give you a tenth of everything that I accumulate in my life if you'll bless me. And Yahweh said, just tell your seed to remember my holy day and keep it holy. Delight yourself in it. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. The Sabbath is intended to be a delight, not a burden. If you focus on the Sabbath, you should never, never call it a burden.
Well, I can't do it. It's a Sabbath. I can't do nothing today. It's a Sabbath.
You can do anything that you want to do as long as it's a delight. If it condemns you, don't do it. If you engage in something that you feel condemned in, don't do it. You see, Yahweh didn't make you for the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for you. You can have freedom and liberty. But of course you don't want to get out here and spend money and do all those things that people do on the Sabbath to break it, when you could have done it the day before. It's just as easy to prepare. If you make preparation, that's what preparation is about. Prepare. And then when the Sabbath comes, you've got more time to delight yourself, more time to visit, more time to heal, more time to pray, more time to worship, more time to meditate. Maybe you just want to rest and meditate. You're delighting yourself. Don't think of the things that you can't do and make it a burden. Think of the things that you can do and you enjoy doing it. Don't you enjoy just meditating, reading, and studying, not having to worry about working? You say, well, if I keep the Sabbath that you advocate, Pastor Buddy, I'd be fired. I don't keep the new moon Sabbath because they won't let me where I work. Well, if you want to call the Sabbath a delight instead of a burden, see, that makes you condemning Yahweh's delight and putting it into the burden category. And you're putting your own worldly pleasures into focus because you say, I've got to work today. I can't take off today, but I could do it tomorrow. Which, if tomorrow is not the Sabbath, you can do that for sacrifice. But he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body of rest. Take heed, lest you fail to enter into his rest. That means that you're resting when he's resting. Then the Yahweh comes searching. His eyes are running to and fro on the earth. You know, he meditates and you come to his mind. Or he just holds his hand up and looks at the scars and he says, that's for Buddy. That's for Bob. That's for Joe. That's for Jacob. And then his eyes pick you up on the radar screen of his ability to see what the sons of men are doing. And he finds you out there working, laboring for the money. Man, I got to get this in today. I'm going to make an extra couple of hundred. And boy, it's going to make my bank account looking good. And the first thing you know, you got a $10,000 hospital bill. And your insurance won't cover it. You find out that you're not covered. A remedy has come upon you. There's no healing. But if you'd have kept it silent, it'd have been a delight. If you'd have loved him, he'd have loved you. If you'd have worshipped him, he would have worshipped you. If you needed him, he would have needed you. But since you rejected him, he rejects you. And when you break his Sabbaths and say it's a burden,
I just can't get into that rhythm of the new moon. It's just not standard operating equipment today, or SOP.
The procedure is not aligned to Babylon. Of course not. Isaiah 56:1-7. Let me read it to you because I got to get out of here very soon. Verse 1, Isaiah 56. Thus saith Yahweh, preserve justice and do right. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness is about to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing evil. You know what that hand's doing? It's laboring for the servile wages. That's evil. That's his hand. Verse 3. Nor let the foreigner who has joined himself to Yahweh, or to your household, say, Yahweh will surely separate me from his people. I'll lose out if I don't keep up with the crowd. But neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. A eunuch is someone that can't produce children. This is what he said. Now some have made themselves eunuchs for Yahweh. Verse 4. For thus saith Yahweh to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and holds fast my covenant. To them I will give in my house. Now this is the time to come that I'm going to close on just in a minute. I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial. I won't forget that. You eunuchs that have made yourself eunuchs for me to love me and keep my commandment. Maybe your wife didn't want to live with you. And you wouldn't break my covenant. You loved her with all your heart. You suffered. You cried every night yourself to sleep. You became a eunuch for my sake. I'll remember that. I'll make it a memorial, and I'll give you a name better than that of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And also those who join themselves to Yahweh to minister to him, to love his name, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, to those I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful. And man, you might cry and weep because your family's deserted you, or you don't have the good things that the world of Babylon offers you. I will make him a fountain of joy and a mountain of delight in my house. Your burnt offerings and your sacrifices I will accept on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all of Jacob Israel, for those who love me and call my Sabbath a delight. Well, Pastor Benny, I know that it's a little bit different than what I've heard, but I just can't get into this rhythm of keeping the new moon and then working 6 days and then keeping a Sabbath. I just don't understand. It's too complicated for me. I'd rather have a Gregorian calendar that tells me when Saturday comes and when Sunday comes. It makes it more or less to where I can keep it, because everybody else is keeping it at that day, and it just makes it so much easier. That's when my wife wants to keep it, glory to God. She wants to go down there to Sunday school and take the children. If you love Yahweh more than you love your wife, she'll be going alone. But if you love your wife more than you love Yahweh, you'll probably hump up and go on down there, although you know you're breaking Yahweh's laws and His covenant. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. In the new moon you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. Numbers 29:1.
We don't keep that old new moon no more, Pastor, but that's under the law going to God, and God nailed that to the cross, and we don't have to keep it no more. Don't, haven't you ever read the book of Colossians?
Yeah, I've read it.
Well, you see, he nailed it to the cross. That's what he says here in the book. That ain't what he said.
And that moon's still up there. The new moon still comes. He's the same yesterday and forever. They were complaining about it in the book of Amos. They complain about it today. It's no different. Nothing's changed. Only those faithful that calls the Sabbath of delight and that will take less to enjoy Yahweh more. That's all it amounts to. You can have less, but you can enjoy it a whole lot more if only that you would keep His commandments and call them a delight, not a burden. Oh, man. Well, you know, Pastor Petty, you ain't supposed to do no work on the Sabbath. What if you live on a dairy farm? You got about 40 cows. I used to work on a dairy farm. Those goddamn cows got to be milked. If you don't, your cows will get, the bags will get infected. They can't hold their milk. You don't put their milking off. You don't put their feeding off. That's not considered work. That's a necessary evil, if you call it an evil. But if you'll delight yourself and you say, cows, I'm so thankful to relieve you of your burden today, to make it a delight for you, and I've got some good feed here for you. That's what it's all about, lady. You're using common sense with the ability to know what Yahweh's will is, to know when His time comes for you to rest. Praise Yahweh. And to when the time comes for you to work. Now, let me again give you my concluding scripture here at the end of our message here tonight of the 12 reasons why that you should keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. Do not profane it. Make it be a delight rather than a burden. Isaiah 66 again, verse 22. It will come to pass in those days, saith Yahweh, that I will make all things new. Oh, man. Ain't that what he told the eunuch? He said, buddy, when I come back, I'll set up the new Jerusalem 1,500 miles square. Whew. Sitting right down in the good old U.S. of A. New Jerusalem. And then from one new moon to the next. I'll count those days in there. You work 6 days and you'll keep my Sabbath. When the Sabbath comes, you'll know what it is because you'll start it with a new moon. But Lord, now, when I went to the Baptist church up there, we didn't do it that way, Lord. That's what I've been talking about all the time. His ways are not your ways. Yahweh designed this way. It's the old-fashioned way. It's the way that the elders, they even planted by the moon and seasons and signs. They believed it. Today, you don't care. You're eating GMO food that grows in spite. Don't have the regulations and the blessings of Yahweh's holy, wholesome, organic grain. They're doing away with it. They're doing away with Yahweh's laws. They're changing it. Just like they're changing America. Very subtle. Right under your nose, they're slipping in one of the most evil and corrupt governments the world has ever known. Right in your back door, in a nation that you call blessed, in a land of plenty. But what happened down in Haiti is just child's play of what's coming upon this land for their sins. Because you always said, be sure your sins are going to find you out. And you can believe one thing, you better dig deep, you better get ready. There's going to be a lot of shaking going on. That earthquake down in Haiti could have been man-made. The one that's coming up on this land for disobedience, for letting the evil rule, for failure to keep his Sabbath, this land will pay for it. He'll cleanse it, just like he caused Israel to be deported and cast out like an untimely fig because they said Yahweh's Sabbaths are a burden. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen, to a county, a town, a village near you is the day of mourning. But Yahweh said for those faithful ones that'll keep it, see if the remnant hanging on, it's not the majority. He didn't say he'd get the majority, he said I'll get the few. Those eunuchs that will love me better than they love their wife. Those wives that'll love me more than they love their husbands. To go to the bell box to break my covenants and my commandments. If you've got a husband trying to tell you to do that, you need to figure your way to get out of there. You men that are letting your wives lead you by your nose, in the book of Isaiah chapter 3, it says you men letting your wives lead you around with a ring in your nose. And they got rings in their nose. Oh, yeah. Look at the world today. Man, it is a pitiful sight. Our churches, it's a joke. Saturday, they dress up, put on their best, and they go to church and say they're keeping the Sabbath. On Sunday, they dress up and say they're keeping the Sabbath. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll assure you tonight, but a form and a fashion won't make it. A way that seems right won't make it. We ain't pitching horseshoes. You got to get on the day he's on. And from one new moon, now keep it in mind, that's the kind of system he's bringing back for the new kingdom. That's the kind he had in force when the children went a-whoring. They aborted and called it a burden and wouldn't live under it. But those who have proven over the years, the days, for the months, of the change of heart that you've got, that you have you've purposed it in your heart to love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love Him better than your wife, but love Him better than your children, and love Him better than your own life. That's keeping the commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I'll be back tomorrow night, 11 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time with part 3 of The Seal of the Sabbath. Man, you don't want to miss it. Got a great one for you tomorrow night, so you stay up with us late tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Transmitting Joyful Sound, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'll be in here tomorrow night with you again. Praise Yahweh. If you'd like to write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm 423-626-2172. Now, again, area code 423-626-2172. Sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. And Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. Tell them Pastor Buddy sent you. And help our sponsors out. They help me out. Stand with them, and they stand with me. Dr. Gary's been my longtime sponsor ever since I've been on the radio, WWRC, way back in on Truth Radio. Dr. Gary's been with me. Praise Yahweh. Held my hands up. Paid my bills when I couldn't. Stood in there for me toe to toe. And I love him for that. Praise Yahweh. And I love you for supporting me and keeping the shepherd's call alive on there. I don't even have to work. People send me tithes and offerings. And I put most of it right here on the radio. A few times I spend a few dollars here and there for things that's necessary to live by. And a workman is worthy of his hire. I'm not hard by nobody but Yahweh. And Yahweh puts it on your heart to send me an offering. And I hope and trust that you'll obey that and call it a delight, not a burden. I know Yahweh will bless it and return it to you fourfold and press it down and run it over. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow night at WWRB 3.185. Again, clear channel around the world on the transmitting Truth Sound. Well, Brother Ben is coming in, and I've got to get out of here. I'll surrender the seat to him and to his band down in the great Republic of Texas. As Brother Ben tells you what shape this country's in. We love you tonight. Just return to Yahweh. Let's keep your Sabbath and call it a delight. We'll see a transformation and a new kingdom. Yahweh bless you. I love you.
So he's got his new world over.